2CC Richard Pernow Podcast.
Luke Smith, financial advisor, Envision Financial, 62604749 and 62551206. This is a good one because everyone at some time in their working career says, I've had enough of this. I'm going to retire, right, Luke?
Well, look, I think everybody has the opportunity to, and I think understanding why and what it means to you is the biggest crux of it, because I think this is the greatest overlooked, overpursued misnamer in history. It really is.
Three words. When or four? When do you retire? When do you retire?
When you want.
There you go. That's the simple thing. And how do you retire, though?
Well, look, I think it's really about understanding what you want to do. You know, every week we talk about why, and I start most things with why. And that, for me, is probably the starting point of this. It's something that you work towards. It's something that you chase, a lot like a sunset. The closer you get, you know.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily grab the sun. It disappears. That's and you right. keep going. So,
all right. What's the legality of retirement? Well, what's the age? Break all that down.
Okay. So from a retirement standpoint, the government brought in a staged retirement bracket. So if you're born 30 June 1960 or prior, your retirement age is 55.
55?
Where you can legally access your super right. in most situations. There are some anomalies there, depending on the funds you're in, but that's a separate discussion. Right through to if you're born after 1 July 1964, then you have to be over the age of 60 to access your benefits. So anywhere in between that bracket, there's a sliding scale from 55 to 60, depending on your date of birth.
Yeah. Now, in regard to that 55, surely that was set back in the 1900s. It must have.
Well, exactly right. It was always something that, a bit like the speed limit.
Yeah.
Cars get a lot better and a lot faster and a lot better brakes.
Yeah.
We're still doing 110 on the highway. This seems to be one of the few things that the policymakers haven't actually jumped at. They keep pushing it up, a bit like Centrelink. They keep pushing it and making you older and older and older. And by the time I get there, we'll probably be retiring at 94.
What is the definition then, Luke, of being retired?
Yeah,
what is that?
So when people retire from a legal standpoint, it's about making an acknowledgement that you do not intend to return to the workforce. Okay.
No, that's a good word, intend.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. And like most things legal, it's always in the interpretation. It's a decision that you can make on multiple occasions, and it is something that people think about and say, well, I'm going to retire today because of... Now, that a lot of that decision-making is driven by access to money, lifestyle, and doing the things you want to do because sure. you've probably worked for 30, 40, 50 years. If you have the resources to retire, you can retire prior to 55. Just can't access accumulated superannuation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about it and you're planning and you're using family trusts and companies and your business assets to accumulate enough wealth to be able to fund the lifestyle you want to have.
Yeah.
I've got clients that pull the pin at 45 and 50.
Really?
They just can't access their super. So we don't want to confuse retirement with a time frame. Retirement in this context is, can I access my superannuation?
Right. Okay. If you're 55, oh, 60 now, this is the new
yep.
rule now. If you were born after 1960, is it?
Yep. 1964. Yep.
Then you're going to retire now. Super didn't kick in until the 1990s.
Correct.
So you're not going to have much, are you?
Correct. Well, that's right. And that sort of ties back into some previous shows where we've talked about being proactive.
Yeah.
And taking advantage of legislation and thinking about the key things that you can do to try and maximise the likelihood of you being able to step away and have access to resources that will fund 50, 30, 40, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200,
yeah.
whatever you think you're going to need to live the lifestyle you want to have and do the things you want to do.
So should you plan, okay, I'm 49 now, I'd like to retire in 11 years?
Oh, look, I think you can never start too soon.
No.
I think one of the things, we'll talk a little bit later about the things I see that people get wrong more often than not is leaving it too late. The legislation in relation to getting money in, as we've touched on in other shows, is getting harder and harder, and the thresholds are getting lower and lower. So people need to do more sooner. In the old days, when I first started sort of 18 years ago, you could sort of work all the way up until the day you left, toss a huge amount of money into super and go, okay, done.
Yeah.
Well, now with the transfer balance cap, non-concessional caps at 100,000 and concessional caps at 25,000 where you can claim a tax deduction.
Yeah.
When I started in my industry, it was 100,000 each.
Ooh.
Now it's 25 each.
Yeah.
18 years later.
Yeah.
So I think wages have gone up, not down.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
People need to do more and be proactive and make sure that they understand why they want to go, when they want to go, and how they want to go.
Yeah. Do you want to go out with a bang or a fizz?
Well, and the other thing is, people, and this for me is a big misconception as well, People hear retirement, they think professional death. I'm done. I'm finished. The grand final's over. I'm going to retire. I'm never going to lace up boots again. But in actual fact, for me, as soon as you can choose not to do something that you don't want to do, for me, that's the definition of retirement. Yeah. So I've got a lot of clients we work with to say, okay, let's get out of doing that. What would you like to do? Oh, I'd really like to go and teach the guitar. Mm. I'd really like to teach Spanish. I'd really like to be a Kentucky tour guide.
Yeah, yeah, you're okay. Just changing well, shirts, aren't it. You? Yeah, just
and
do
if
it.
You like doing something, technically, right, are you working?
So you can contact Luke Smith, the financial advisor from Envision Financial. Now, Brett's done that on 6255-1206. G'day, Bren. You there, mate?
Brett?
Yeah, Brett.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Luke's listening.
Sorry, I only come through halfway through the conversation.
Okay.
So I was just... So I've been in the public Navy and then public service for nearly 30 years. Does that mean, like, if I can retire at 55, if I'm in PSS, on my pension?
I'll
just be confused.
Yeah, you go.
I'm not too sure if you're talking about the government pension or my pension.
Okay, so...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, let's break that down, because you've potentially got two different pensions. If you've got PSS, that's one income stream, and if you've been in the military, you could have DFRDB and MSPS. True?
Yeah, I've got MSPS.
Okay, so how and when you access your benefits will depend on your age and the way that you exit. So... The PSS is a slightly different animal in that there are a different set of rules in that if you're made redundant, for example, it can open up part of the benefit where you could draw an income stream under the age of 55, but the lump sum component must stay in super until you meet certain thresholds. So it'll really come down to the way you're employed, how you exit, when you exit, and the way you want to take your benefits.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Do you want to retire?
Sort of.
Or have you got to retire?
No. I'm old. Only 48.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
So I've been paying 10% for I don't know how long now into PSS, but I just don't get... I thought I could get a pension at 55.
Well, you potentially can.
And then...
You potentially can, but it depends on how you're going to exit and the way that your benefits are structured.
I really need to come and see you.
Yeah, okay. You should too. Have you got a pen?
Just don't come in on Monday, because I won't be there.
You got a pen? You got a good memory?
I've got a pen right here.
Okay, 6260-4749.
4749.
That's it. That's Envision Financial. You can contact Luke's team on Tuesday. Go in, mate. It doesn't cost anything. Just have your initial discussion anyway.
Okay.
All
awesome.
Right. You can outline there
Thank
too.
You.
Yeah. See, there are a lot of questions about. Oh, if I go here, if I'm in the
and
public
look, that's
service,
a, that's a
you know.
Really good one because there are anomalies, and the military schemes and the government schemes are different. They have different rules, different potential access points, and the behaviour of when you exit, depending on age, retirement, preservation, and redundancies, it can have a huge
stuff,
impact on.
It?
Okay, here's an income stream. I'll get a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 pension. Yeah. I've got to roll my lump sum super as part of PSS into another scheme and meet these access rules we've talked about. And then I could go back into the workforce, be self-employed and go off and do something else that you actually want to do.
Yeah.
So I find a lot of people actually don't do the thing they want to do, which I think is actually quite sad.
You mean for a livelihood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had someone retire after 35 years.
I never wanted to do this.
And they said, well, I just wish I had a comfier chair.
Okay. Well, buy another chair.
Buy another chair. It's for me. This is part of the planning discussion and the misnomer that you start doing things when you retire.
Yeah.
Understanding your cash flow and doing things along the way, I think people need to understand why. And I think we're going to touch now on the things people should consider.
What should they consider?
Well, look, I think
the money you got in the bank for a starter.
That's a good start. Understanding where you're at is very good. Having a good understanding of where your money's going to come from. Okay, as I said earlier, if you've been able to be proactive and accumulate assets outside of super...
So Brett at 48 should be starting to think about how he can become proactive.
I think he's already doing some good things. He said he's making 10% contributions to PSS. That's not going to do him any harm whatsoever. He could probably just then look to try and crank that up and add some additional strategies to try and give himself some choice when he gets closer to 55.
Okay.
I think people should also look at redundancy options. And what that does to their access to benefits, because in that scenario, the PSS is one that is slightly different to the normal rules. What do you want to do when you finish? A lot of people ask me, well, how much is enough?
How high is up?
And yeah, how much do I need? Well, yeah. If you're going to go out and get a job contracting for 2 or 3 days a week, you may not need the 1, 2, 3 million you think you need, because you might work for another 10 years on your terms and cash flow the way you want to live. Mm. So understanding what you'll do post retirement from a position is very important. I think a lot of people don't think about that. And also, how you're going to spend your time.
Mm.
What do you actually like doing? Because yeah. Believe it or not, you can't play golf 5 days a week.
That's what I think. That's what happens, isn't it, Luke Smith? They go, oh, I'll be able to do everything I want to do. I can go to the beach. I can go on a holiday. We'll get a Winnebago and go around Australia.
Correct.
We won't have to get up in the morning. No, sorry, it doesn't
Correct.
Work that way.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
I think people should also plan ahead in relation to what they do leading into retirement. So we've talked in other shows on maximising your non-concessional contributions.
Yeah.
We've talked about maximising deductible contributions. And a big one is using the 3-year bring forward provision for the non-concessional contribution where no deduction is claimed. So if you've got some timing issues or you're preparing for things, you can make sure you get money in the right structures and also in the right names. So having money in your name and your partner's name as part of the broader strategy can have long-term benefits down the road in relation to the assessment of assets for Centrelink.
Yeah.
Also using the super splitting legislation that we spoke about a couple of shows ago, where if there's an age difference between two couples, you can move money into the older person's name and bring forward that access. So we had a scenario in the office 2 weeks ago where we changed somebody's retirement date by 7 years. By being proactive and getting their money into their older partner's name, they could actually bring forward their own retirement because they could use their money and fund it. And so there's big lifestyle changes here that kills me when people come in and we explain, well, have you been doing this? And they look at you with this hole in themselves and go,
oh, wish I'd known.
I wish I'd known. I say that every week.
Yeah, you can get financial advice at Envision Financial. Luke Smith on 6255-1206. His office, 6260-4749. Okay, we've done the stuff that we're set to do it. Where can I go wrong with my retirement plan?
Well, look, I think the biggest thing is leaving it too late.
What do you mean by too late?
I just think not too late. I think you limit your opportunities by running out of time.
So you're 64 and you're going to retire at 65. That's
so walking in and saying at 59, okay, what do I do? I'm going to retire at 60.
You say, well, see you later, buy it, scratch it.
I've only got so many balaclavas in my bottom drawer. So, I think that's one that...
Is there any saving from that sort of thing?
There's always things you can do to try and improve it. But as I say to most people, it's give and take. What you don't do now, you're going to pay for later.
Yeah.
The better you are now, the more choices you have later.
Plan.
It's always in and out. It's always a two-way street. So leaving it too late and not being proactive is a big problem.
Yeah.
Not having a plan about what you're going to do with your time. A lot of people say, well, I've retired, and we count down to finishing. And inside 6 months after they've bought the Winnebago, had the trip overseas, seen the grandkids, bought a car, driven around Australia, come back, and they go and consult back into the department they try to get out of for 25 years. So having an understanding of what they want to do, I think, is very important and filling your days. Because as I said before, believe it or not, you can't play golf 5 days a week. I'd love to, but I just don't think we're not built like that. Taking advantage, I think a lot of people miss out on the super splitting rules. We touched on that 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that got traction, too, didn't it?
Really good. We've had a lot of feedback from that, and it was a real eye-opener because a lot of people didn't know about it. I think missing out on those sorts of strategies and not accumulating enough, doing little bits sooner. Mm. I think it's harder to do a lot later because as people with life and the way things are and how busy and hectic everything is, people spend and they don't think about saving. So doing a little bit now is a lot easier than trying to find big lumps later.
Sure.
I also think that people don't understand their fees and charges. You know, I had a gentleman come in the other day and said, look, you're paying 3 to 4 times more than you should be. Oh, really?
Mm.
So I think understanding your fees, your charges, and we touched on that in a previous show, have a look under the hood and understand why you have the fund you have. Because as I said in that particular show, super funds are a lot like cars.
Mm.
You don't need to buy a Ferrari to deliver bread and vice versa. So understand what you're working with and why you have what you have, not just because you've always had it. And review what you're doing. Too many times people come in and we'll be talking about, say, trauma cover, for example, or life cover or income protection, and the first thing they say to me is, oh, I took this out years ago and, you know, it's just always been there. and they find out they'll be paying 30, 40% over what they could have been. And you think about the compounding impact of that saving used correctly.
Yeah.
Again, it comes back to the choices that you can make and the timing and the decision of the things you want to do and the ability to use the resources that you have to do the things that are the most important.
Okay, what about franking, dividends, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, yeah. Again, understanding the fund that you have and the way that your investments are invested. So taking advantage of listed shares, franking credits, tax-free pension accounts, and the value of that over time really starts to get some traction, because if you can generate $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 of franking credits in your portfolio and you've got a tax-free pension, it's very, very powerful. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go into a retirement phase and talk about income streams, transition to retirement, account-based pensions, and things like that, so that you can actually tie together, well, I want to go, but how do I go? And a lot of people come in and say, well, how do I get money out? How does it actually work? So a lot of people don't have a good handle on how you draw income. So that ties back into the type of fund you have. Because if you're in a unitized fund that doesn't pay dividends, the one thing you need is income in retirement. So understanding how your money's invested and how you can maximize your opportunities is really, really important. I think people can get a handle on that. It'll drive the strategies that they implement both now and in retirement.
Yeah, okay. The whole thing too is that it's all going to be done and dusted and you're going to live a life of liberty. That's not going to happen, is it? So you've got to really plan out your time.
Yeah, look, I think there's a very big disconnection between the wages you earn when you're working and the income that your resources will generate. And I think that shocks a lot of people that haven't sat down and thought about, well, what do I actually need to live the way I want to live, to have that trip I want, to buy that car, to be able to move here and spend part of the year living here, or sending the kids here, or having grandkids there, or, you know,
so there's a lot different to consider. And I like your words that you popped up, not just today, Luke Smith, but in other shows too, plan. Think about why you're doing what you're doing, when you're doing it.
Oh, look, review.
Okay.
You've got to keep a handle on it.
You got an acronym of the week which scares me, Preservation Age.
Preservation Age. Well, that's a fancy way of saying retirement age.
Oh, okay.
So you read a lot of documentation that says you must meet your preservation age.
So it's not a jar of pickles.
No, not at all. You're not preserving something for later in life. In a way, if you think about it, that's what your super is. You're preserving your capital and saving yourself from yourself.
Yeah.
Because if they open the super doors to everybody, there'd be nothing left at 50, 60, 70 or 80. Because we generally consume what we earn.
So before you even say, okay, I'm going to retire when I'm 68 or something, or 62 or 58, you've really got to sit down with you at Envision and say, okay, what have I got to be able to declare the fact that I'm going to close the door?
Have I got the resources I need from a various
structures? How long will it last, Luke? How long will it last?
Because if you think you need $2 million and we can say, well, you can do this hobby that you like and earn money doing that 2 or 3 days a week, you may only need half the capital. So it comes down to understanding what retirement looks like for people, because everybody's view of something is different. People walk in, sit down and say, what do most people live on? And I say, well, I had a guy tell me 3 weeks ago he couldn't save on $800,000 a year.
Okay.
I've also had people tell me they can live happily on $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
So
Everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
And they're a great time to get one-on-one. They're starting on the 10th of October, Wednesday night in Phillip. There are only a couple of chairs left.
Four seats left.
And then it's gone. This is the way to get to Luke and say one-on-one. He'll plan out your future, especially in retirement. We're going to continue with retirement next week, please.
We are. Yeah. And we've got to fill those four spots or I'm going to have to push it.
Oh, okay. All right, done.
Okay, so
there
let's
it is.
Do it.
And there it is. Go on board. EnvisionFinancial.com.au 6260 4749. And
I just quick throw it out. I hope Mr. Burton gets out on the water this weekend and get that boat in and spend some time out of the tools and on the property. So, Mr. Burton, you have a lovely weekend.
Oh, okay. There's a bit of cryptic stuff going on in there.
Exactly right.
Envision Financial, financial advisor Luke Smith, 6260 4749. We salute the police after 5.